During this episode of Banner Health Making the Rounds podcast, we will be discussing women's health, annual screenings, genetic predisposition, and women's oncology diseases. Making the Rounds dives into medical topics with those who know them best, healthcare providers. My name is Bridget, and I'll be your host for today's episode. If you're new to our podcast, thank you for tuning in. And if you're a regular listener, welcome back. Joining me today is Dr. Ahmed Alnaimi, gynecologic oncology specialist and gynecologic oncology section chief at Banner MD Anderson Cancer Center. Thank you for joining me today and welcome to Making the Rounds.
Thank you, Bridget. And it's really nice to be here and be with you and be a resource for our listeners, whether doctors or patients. And spreading the knowledge and the information is all what we do and like to do.
Dr. Alnaimi, we're very lucky to have you here today, not only as a guest on today's episode, but we're lucky to have you here at Banner MD Anderson. We're definitely eager to learn more about this topic, as we often hear from our healthcare providers the need for screening tests and annual exams. Can you share with us, why are well women screenings important for women to receive?
Bridget, looking back through the history of medicine, you know, some of the great expansions of medical services provided is, of course, identifying diseases and treating them. Finding therapies and treatments for chronic diseases probably have made one of the single most important inventions in modern medicine. We quickly recognized over the years that treating diseases are important, but actually detecting diseases at its early stages probably is as important, if not more important, than detecting them and treating them in later stages. So let's take in general diabetes and hypertension. Those are just examples of chronic diseases. We know for a fact that detecting those diseases in early stages and treating them will provide a better control and a longer survival and definitely a better quality of life for patients who already have those diseases. So women's health and screening for chronic diseases, and start with hypertension and diabetes, are important. Of course, this doesn't mean that men should not be screened for those diseases, but we're talking about women's healthcare today. So screening and early detection of chronic diseases are important, but since we are specialized in cancer, the topic comes in always to say, well, what about cancer? And are some of the cancers treatable? Are some of the cancers preventable? And as we grow in medicine, as we expand our knowledge in medicine, we now recognize that some of the cancers are completely curable, but I think more importantly, the cure is higher when the cancer is detected early. What compounds or complicates the matter is that now that we're dealing with cancers, detecting cancers and treating them, we quickly discovering that some, not all, some cancers are driven by the person's own gene mutations. Now, what is a gene mutation? A gene mutation is an alteration in a person's genetic makeup. When there is gene mutation, there is an alteration of the gene that actually either make the person more at risk of developing cancer or more at risk of not clearing that cancer in early stages. In either way, that genetic alteration will increase the person's risk for cancer. So if we go back and look at the big picture, some cancers are curable. Most cancers, if they are detected early, can be cured. And so for that reason, we promote and educate not only physicians and healthcare providers and patients as well, that it is okay to talk about detecting early cancers. Some of the national programs on detecting cancers are very famous and important, mammograms and colonoscopies. And some of the screenings are also screening meant to deal with cervix cancer, and HPV and pap smears are one of the most important examples. So every woman should undergo a mammogram, colonoscopy, and at certain times of her life, a pap smears. Of course, the frequency of the pap smears is subject to change as the national guidelines have continuously been evolving and changing. It is important as a provider to be aware of the screening for mammograms, colonoscopies, and the pap smears for women. And it's important for providers and patients to understand that not all cancers are created equal, and some of those cancers come from your own genetic mutation.
When you talk about genetic mutations and screenings, can you tell us more about genetic testing and who should pursue this type of test?
Thank you, Bridget, for asking this. This is a very important subject. Now, let's step back and understand what we call risk stratification for cancer. For every cancer, there is what we call the general population risk. I'll take two examples. Ovarian cancer in general has a general population risk of 1.9% per lifetime, or we should make it simple and say 2%. What that means is that every woman is at risk for ovarian cancer in her lifetime in 2% of times. The same thing also applies for uterine cancer, but the number is a little bit higher. And let's call it 2.7%, which is the latest number. This is what we call as a general population risk. Now, what genetic mutation does, if somebody inherits that genetic mutation, what genetic mutation does is increases your risk above that general population. Say, for example, the famous BRCA gene mutation, in its two versions, BRCA 1 and 2, they both increase your risk for ovarian cancer, of course, as well as breast cancer. And that's where the name BRCA, BR for breast, CA for cancer. And so those gene mutations increases a woman's risk for ovarian cancer up to 60% in the BRCA 1 mutation and up to 40% in BRCA 2 mutation. And when we say, for example, let's approximate it to say 50%, what that means is that in the patient's lifespan, there is a 50% chance of developing that ovarian cancer if you have BRCA gene mutation. Same thing applies for Lynch syndrome. Lynch syndrome is a genetic mutation that you inherit, and it increases your chance of uterine cancer, of course, among other cancers like colon cancer. But specifically talking about uterine cancer, it increases your cancer of the uterus up to 20 or even 30% in your lifetime. Now remember, compared to the general population of somewhere around 2.7%. So when you have a genetic mutation, you triple or quadruple, and sometimes increases your chance 10 times more than the general population. And that is where the intense screening and counseling should happen. Because imagine if a person's risk for ovarian cancer is 2% compared to 50%. That's a lot of risk. So for patients who have those gene mutations, since they are at higher risk for cancer, then the counseling and the management and the detection of those patients will be completely different from the general population. And I'll give you an example. A woman's general risk of ovarian cancer is 2%. And actually, there have been so many studies to increase awareness and increase detection in general population, and nothing really have panned out to be a good screening for ovarian cancer. But patients with BRCA gene mutation in any variance can, say, on average, increases your chance up to 50%. Then patients who are carriers of those genes are managed and counseled differently. Some of them will go through an intense screening with annual or even semi-annual MRIs, but we quickly discovered that those patients should have what we call a risk reduction surgery, meaning removing the tubes and ovaries and the uterus and the Lynch syndrome when they have finished their family or when they have completed their family. And some patients who are not interested in keeping their fertility, then that's an option for them to reduce the risk of ovarian by actually physically removing those tissues out of their bodies. And so that is the link, or that is the knowledge between general population and genetic testing.
Dr. Al-Naomi, there are organizations that can offer self-screening kits. And it's important to know that there's a significant difference between an at-home screening test versus testing ordered and performed by a medical professional. What are some of the benefits of genetic testing, and what diseases do they detect?
Thank you, Bridget, for the question. And this is obviously a very loaded question, and it needs some explanation. There's no doubt that with the expansion of knowledge of genetic testing, genetic predisposition, there is no doubt that there is more now available commercial, what we call home kits, for genetic testing. In the recent years, the market have expanded and so many companies have made it available to have a commercial at-home kits for genetic testing. Some of those genetic testing are really mainly geared for ancestry. However, because of the expansion of knowledge, those companies can actually detect genetic mutations. And that is what's available now on the market. Now, how is that different from a medical institution's genetic testing? Well, it's a little different because in our institution, the Banner MD Anderson Cancer Center, we not only have healthcare providers who are specialized in cancer predisposition, whether it's breast cancer, lung cancers, gynecologic cancer, and colon cancer, but we also have what we call a multidisciplinary team approach where we counsel the patient, talk with them, ask their history, and more importantly, have genetic counselors in our institution where they will meet the patient, map their family, and actually provide the genetic testing. The genetic testing that is what we call a medical grade genetic testing, or what we call a targeted medical genetic testing, we actually comprehensively do a genetic testing for the patients, and we target it for some gene mutations that are known to have those cancers. That doesn't mean that our testing will also detect some other genes that are of unknown significance, and we can talk about that in a few minutes. What's different in our Banner MD Anderson Cancer Center is that we see the patients, we counsel them, the genetic counselor also meet with them, but of course, we are available to interpret those results with the patients directly. We oftenly see patients who have had those commercial at-home kits with the genetic testing positive for gene mutation, and they come rushing to us and say, what does that mean? Of course, that creates a lot of anxiety, a lot of time lapse between the genetic testing results and between the patient seeing us, but we can walk the patient through the results and explain them.
So with the results of genetic testing, could genetic testing show undetermined significance, or in other words, not relevant in the patient's health journey?
This is very important as well. Some of the testing that we do at the Banner MD Anderson Cancer Center can yield results that are what we call unexplainable. Those genetic testing, medically termed as following, genetic testing of undetermined significant or variants of undetermined significant. What does that mean? Well, that means that those tests have picked up a mutation of truly of undetermined significance, meaning we do not know what that genetic mutation means to the patients, and we do not know what that genetic testing means in general regarding the healthcare. Not because it's not significant and important, but it's because we do not know what that implication on long-term health. Most of those mutations are truly of undetermined significance. Those are random mutations in the genes that are not expressed, or if expressed, has no significant clinical implication. Some, however, might do in the future. So, for example, if 20 years down the road, we discover that a certain mutation is now really significant for a specific disease, then we would look back and we say, all those mutations that is of undetermined significance, actually they mean something to that patient. But as of now, there's quite a bit of results, what we discover to be of undetermined significance. And what we tell the patient is that, although this is a mutation, but as of now, we don't understand it, and it remains as such of undetermined significance. We clearly understand that this is an anxiety provoking to not only to the patients, but their provider, because we have some sort of a mutation that we don't understand what it is. I think the patients and their family, as well as us as a medical community, should understand our lack of knowledge to some of those mutations and be in peace with it.
And I think that brings up a good point. So when we talk about continued screening, if a patient comes back with an undetermined significance, or if a patient comes back with completely negative results but has a strong family history. Tell us the importance of continued screening and continued monitoring if there is a strong family history.
Thank you, Bridget, for this question. And this is as important as probably understanding that there is a gene mutation, because the lack of gene mutation, as we talked in the beginning, the lack of gene mutation lowers the person's risk for cancer down to the general population risk. It does not make it zero. It's a common misconception for patients to come in and say, I did the genetic testing, I am negative, or I have no gene mutation, I am cleared, I do not want to see any physician, I do not want to see any healthcare provider, I do not have to do the screening. And that is far from truth. What we're trying to do with the genetic testing is to find patients who are at higher risk than the general population. So if you have a gene mutation that is negative, especially if you have a family history of cancer, that doesn't mean that your risk is zero. It means that your risk is down to the general population, or it might still be higher than the general population, but your genetic testing is negative. Remember, Bridget, we test for the things we know, and there are many other diseases or many other families with recurrent cancers in their ancestors and in their family, but we just do not know what gene mutation those families carry. So when we test for BRCA gene 1 or 2 mutation, we're testing just for those. Or when a patient comes in with a positive family history of cancers and our test is negative, it does not mean that the genes are completely cleared of any mutation. It's just that we tested for the things we know, and the things we know that causes cancers are not inherited in her family.
Dr. Aniyami, a few minutes ago, you mentioned a multidisciplinary team. At Banner MD Anderson Cancer Center, we bring together a customized team of disease specialists focused solely on diagnosing and treating specific cancers. Can you share with us the benefits and importance of having a multidisciplinary team and what that comprehensive team approach means to women with genetic predispositions or strong family history?
At the Banner MD Anderson multidisciplinary team, we work not only as a team of specialists in cancer, but we work in synchrony with every specialty. And I'll give you an example. One of my colleagues, when they see a patient, if she's a breast surgeon, if she's a patient who's at risk for breast cancer, she immediately recognizes that when a person is at risk for breast cancer, she might carry a risk for ovarian cancer or uterine cancer. And so because we work together, she will alert the patient to say, hey, we have a GYN oncology department here. You should see them because they will help you understand your risk for ovarian cancer, and they will help you minimize or address the risk. Same thing happened to us. When we see a patient who's referred to us just because she had an ovarian cancer in her family, or she has a testing positive, we immediately tell the patient, we will address the ovarian cancer, but my next door neighbor who's a breast surgeon who addresses breast cancer, that needs to be seen. Same thing for colon cancer. We mentioned the correlation between uterus cancer and colon cancer, Lynch syndrome. So if I see a patient who has a Lynch syndrome, or if I operate on a patient who has uterine cancer, and we found that she does actually have Lynch syndrome, she will automatically be eligible to see a colorectal surgeon who will address her risk for colon cancer. And that's the power of multidisciplinary team. Truly understand the correlation between multiple organ cancers when it comes to genetic mutation. And that's where we believe, as a multidisciplinary team, we can provide a comprehensive care to the patients, not only because we're treating that specific cancer or treating that specific condition, but we have this global understanding of that genetic mutation that exposes that patient to other cancers. And since we work together in one place, that'll allow us to provide comprehensive care to understand and minimize the risk.
Dr. Aniyami, is there anything that a primary care physician or the patient GYN specialist, is there anything that they can do in their clinic to help with screening? Or what is that referral pathway if they have a patient that's at high risk?
And that's, Bridget, a very important question that we are asked frequently by primary care physicians or OBGYN colleagues, is to ask, what do we do and how can we help patients? Now, the concept is the knowledge of genetic testing and genetic mutations, as well as family histories of cancers, is there and growing. Now, of course, a primary care physician might not have enough time or resources in their clinic to deal with patients who have a family history, but I think a simple question or questionnaire about the patient's family history probably might be the single most important thing to ask the patients who's coming, say, for example, you know, to treat her blood pressure or diabetes. And the provider can ask, do you have a family history of cancer? And if the patient says yes, then that's all what it takes for that primary care provider or OBGYN to say, well, I have a resource or I have a place who can deal with that matter. The internal referral to OBGYN by Banner institutions is as easy as you go to the electronic medical record and you put the consults for us. Just a simple call or a consult for us will suffice for our team to call the patients, reassure them and see them. And of course, as we talked about in the multidisciplinary team, we're not only going to see the patients for their genetic, for the family history, but also counsel them for genetic testing, do the genetic testing, counsel them for the genetic testing results, and enter into a comprehensive plan for that patient. And if they do have cancer, we treat the cancer and we give them a survivorship plan. And ultimately, that patient is helped better by their primary care physicians or OBGYN. Ultimately, those patients will return back to their primary care physicians to resume the other screening and the other management of healthcare. So it's very important for primary care providers and OBGYNs to just flag the patients that are referred to us, and we can take it from here. The referral can be directly to genetic counseling or can be done to us as a specialist, as surgical oncologists, whether it's breast or ovarian, and we can, of course, work with our team to facilitate everything else.
Dr. Aniyami, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today and educating us on women's health, the importance of wellness and annual screenings, the details behind genetic predispositions and women's oncology diseases.
Thanks so much, Bridget, and thank you for the podcast, and it's my pleasure and honor to be here.
To learn more about Dr. Ahmed Aniyami, gynecological cancers, or the oncology programs available at Banner MD Anderson Cancer Center, please visit us at bannerhealth.com/cancer for more information. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time on Making the Rounds.